Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Leviticus chapter 11 and chapter 12. G. Campbell Morgan once said, "The church was most effective in reaching the world when it was least like the world." In today's study in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be talking about how the church is not supposed to fit in with the world, but be set apart as hope and a beacon of light pointing people to Jesus. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave.
Listen, if you're fitting in and everybody likes you and you're Mr. or Mrs. Congeniality, there's a problem. If you're proclaiming Christ, you shouldn't be Mr. or Mrs. Popular. You shouldn't be the homecoming king or queen. Something should make you different. It's Jesus in your life, and others should despise that. Not that I'm saying that you should be contentious and seek to be despised. That's not the case at all. But the world will naturally hate you if Jesus is naturally shining through you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Is the servant greater than the master? Absolutely not. There should be a difference. We need to be reminded of that. Listen, if you're here tonight and your mom and your dad, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your son or your daughter, your best friend, your neighbor, they're giving you a hard time. You're going to church again? You're going to go on Friday for, you know, Good Friday. You're going to go on Sunday for Easter, and then you're going to go again next one. You keep going to church. Something's not right. It's okay. That's good. You shouldn't fit in with the world. You should look different. You should act different. You should be altogether different. That's ultimately, please understand this here. That's ultimately what God is establishing in chapter 11. I want to put a difference. I want to put a mark on you. You're my people. Even in the way that you eat, I want it to be different. I'm so concerned that I even want the way that food goes into you to be different than the rest of the world. Very important for us to understand. The benefit of obedience is good health, of course. There's always benefits to obeying God. Think about it. Anything that he asks us to do, any commandments that he gives to us, there's always going to be added blessings and bonuses and cherries on top of the Sunday for our obedience to the Lord. But those things aren't necessarily the primary reasons that the Lord has us doing something. In this case, it's to establish holiness, sanctification, you being separate, altogether different than everybody else that's around you. And you remembering that you're a Christian, that you follow Jesus. But to add to that, the things that he's telling them to abstain from truly aren't good for you. They aren't good for you. They weren't good for you, especially at this time. Remember, they didn't have ovens. Not the way that we do. They don't have refrigeration. They didn't have all these things. So he says, stay away from this stuff. It's not good for you. Stay away from shrimp and lobster, crab, squid, oyster, shellfish, all of it. For they shall be even an abomination, verse 11, unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And he goes on in verse 13 to say, and there are they which you shall have an abomination among the fowls. Now he's talking about the birds of the air. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. He starts with the eagle and the ossifrage, which most scholars feel is a form of a vulture, and the osprey and the vulture itself, verse 14, and the kite after his kind. So scavengers, birds of prey, they, of course, would feast on roadkill, meat that wasn't drained of the blood properly. I don't want you to eat these things. They're not good for you. He says in verse 15, every raven after his kind, and the owl, verse 16, and the nighthawk, and the cockatoo, which is a seagull, they believe, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, verse 17, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, in verse 18, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, which is a form of a vulture, and the stork, verse 19, the heron after the kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. Who would think that the Lord would have to tell us not to eat a bat? Anyone been tempted to eat a bat before? They're disgusting, aren't they? But the Lord, he comes down to our level. Clearly, there has to be a reason. Listen, I'm walking with my son yesterday. I took him, my kids and my son. Well, he's one of my kids, of course. But we were walking around the neighborhood, and I have to tell him, don't eat bird poop. You don't touch that, you know. And he'll put everything in his mouth. But don't pick up the dog poop. You would think you wouldn't have to tell a human being those things. But he needs to understand, is that my side to teach him, you can't do that. You can't just put everything that you find on the side of the road here in your mouth. You can't touch everything. And God's the same way with us as his kids. Hey, listen, because I know some of you are a little bit crazy. Don't eat a bat. It's not good for you. He comes down to our level as a father, a good father, and he says, stay away from these things. It's not good for you. Stay away from bats. And as ridiculous as it sounds, if you can think it, somebody probably has at least tried to do it. And the Lord says, just don't go there. He goes on to the insect world in verse 20. He says, all the fowls that creep, going upon all four, they shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may you eat of every flying creature thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even, verse 22, those of them you may eat, the locust after her kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle, which is the cricket, after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. We know that John the Baptist, that was his diet, right? Locust dipped in honey. That was his thing. Under the Levitical law here under Moses, it was good. You're allowed to do that. You know, you can eat these things. But all other flying, creeping things, verse 23, which have 4 feet, shall be an abomination unto you. And for these, verse 24, you shall be unclean. And so whoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. And whosoever, verse 25, beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. The carcasses of every beast, verse 26, which divide the hoof, and is not clothed and footed, nor cheweth the cud, they are unclean unto you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws, among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Cats and other things like that, they're unclean. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth the carcass of them which washes his clothes and shall be unclean until the evening, they are unclean to you. So you're going through this here, and the lesson I think that we have to pull out, I think that what we have to see here is that which is unclean will defile that which is clean. And it never works the other way around. It's never vice versa, where the clean thing undefiles the unclean, unless it's Jesus, of course, which we'll see him doing that next week with the lepers and in the next few chapters after we're done here. But the unclean, there's this possibility here. There's this potential. If you get too close to it, if you touch it, it's going to defile you. And this speaks to us. The Lord's telling us in the New Testament, certainly through Paul. We have I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but we have Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord is Christ with Baal? Or what parteth he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so there's a call of separation. I don't want you to have anything to do with that which is unclean. I don't want you to even go near it. It's not even about you even eating at this point. I don't even want you to touch it. I want you to have no interaction, no relation, no fellowship to those things which I prescribed you to stay away from. I know for some of us here, we could think, well, gee, that's obvious, but we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We have interaction. We have involvement with a person that doesn't love the Lord. We hang out with folks who don't love Jesus. We put movies in and television shows on that don't glorify the Lord. We listen to things that we shouldn't listen to. We see things that we shouldn't see. And the Lord's saying tonight, he's calling us out from it. As simple of a message as it is, and I'll be honest, is not as exciting of a study for me to preach on tonight as we go through the dietary law, still there's that challenge here. There's a challenge of that separation, that sanctification, that holiness to the believer. Stay away from those things that are going to defile you. It's what plagued Samson's ministry. It's what ruined his ministry. It's what kept him from being used to his full potential as a servant of God. He couldn't stay away from those things that God said stay away from as a Nazirite, as somebody who was called out from the practices of the rest of the people. He couldn't stay away from those things that God said were off limits, and it ruined him. It ruined his ministry. It kept him from being as effective as he could have been had he had been obedient. And I think that that's a warning for many of you here tonight. For myself, certainly. I don't exempt myself from that warning. The Lord is just waking us up and reminding us, even as we move through a dietary law, 3,500 years old, hey, are you living clean? Are you, so many folks today are so worried about what they put into their body, so how they look physically. They're eating clean. Being so careful of what type of foods they eat and don't eat so that they look good, so that they could have abs and cuts in their body and look good and get their summer bodies, you know. Everyone's so concerned about those things, but how about spiritually? Are you partaking and feasting on those things that are spiritually clean, those things that are worthy of meditation, those things that lead to separation as we began our study with tonight, a divided walk, things that we could chew the cud over? Are those the things that we're putting into us? What we feast on, I'm going to keep hitting this tonight, in large determines our holiness. What I put before my eyes, what I put into my ears, the people that I allow to be around me, that is going to have such an impact on how holy I live, and end result is going to affect my happiness. If I'm really trying to please Jesus and I'm really saved and born again of his Spirit, it is going to bother me when I'm not living in the light. If you're here tonight, and I'm going to take a step away from this for a minute and preach. If you're here tonight, and if you don't seem to understand that, if you don't feel in your heart like, you know what, pleasing Jesus is really not of an importance to me, then I don't know if you're really saved. Because if God's Spirit is in you and you are truly the temple of the Holy Ghost, then the Spirit's ministry is always to point everybody to Jesus. And your focus, your thoughts, your attention, most of the time should be upon him. And your desires should be both to will and to do of his good pleasure as a new creation in Christ. If that's not there, there's an issue. There's a few possibilities. You're not saved. You never were saved. You are saved, and you're so backslid, and your heart is so hard that you're that far away from the Lord. Either one is not a good place to be. You need to come back home to Jesus tonight. You need to be concerned. There has to be this, Lord, I want to be aware here of what's clean and what's not clean, what's an abomination and what's right before you, what's holy and what's unholy. There's only two categories in life, that which is holy and that which is not. What is holy is God. Everything else is not. What is of God is holiness. What is not of God is unholiness, period. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what society says. It matters what the Word of God says. Even if it's 3,500 years old, it stands today. I'm frustrated. I'm a little exasperated, to be honest with you. And I'm not picking anybody. I know this always, you know, strikes a nerve with folks, but it's relative, and that's why I'm bringing it up. I'm frustrated with this whole homosexuality thing, this agenda here that's all over every social media network, that's all over the news. We're acting like that we have a right in the 21st century to change things around. This is where America has evolved to. If ever now, more now than ever before, we should be embracing and being open-minded that everybody has equal rights, and people are changing their profile pictures on Facebook to this dumb, graphic of equal rights here for the gays and the lesbians. And if I want to be married to a man as a man, then I'll be married to a man. If I want to be married to a woman as a woman, I'll be married to a woman. And who is somebody to tell me who I can and can't be married to? Nobody tell anybody anything, but it's what God's Word declares. This is what we always have to come back to. What does God say is clean, and what does God say is unclean? Listen, folks are getting all confused about this. Should I live with my girlfriend or boyfriend, or shouldn't I until after I'm married? Listen, as Christians, please hear me, as born-agains, this is not, there's not, none of these things should be up in the air in your life. The Word of God is clear. No, you shouldn't. You can't fornicate. You can't be a homosexual. You can't be a drunkard. You can't do these things and inherit the kingdom of God. This is simple stuff. The Word of God hasn't changed. It's not changing. It doesn't evolve as a culture evolves or as America becomes whatever the heck America is becoming. It doesn't matter what America says, what New York says, what Governor Cuomo says, or what President Obama says. It matters what Jesus Christ says. And that's what we have to be focused on. This study tonight, we can be so... We can get so bored here because we're so desensitized. Oh, I don't care. This is boring. I don't care about the menu of the Jews from 3,500 years ago. Listen, the greater issue here tonight is, what does my Savior say is clean and unclean? And how does it apply to my life? And if you get nothing else, and you should leave here with this tonight, am I feasting in daily life? Am I partaking of things that pertain to my holiness? Or aren't I? It's as simple as that. Am I putting things before me in my home? Putting things in my ears? Am I leading to a life of separation or similarity to this world? That's the bottom line. I don't care if you eat shellfish and lobster and shrimp, so do I. Praise God, I say grace and I eat it and it tastes delicious and I have no conviction about it. But I'm more concerned tonight about our spiritual state. I'm more concerned tonight that I don't ever do this job in vain and that the listeners of what I speak sit here and feel comfortable about the state that they're living in if it's contrary to Jesus Christ. There are so many things that are uncertain and unclear in today's society. These issues of what's unclean and clean, what's holy and not holy, what is to be sanctified and what isn't sanctified, these things should not be up in the air. That's the issue. Leave here with that tonight. I don't care if you memorize what groups of food you can eat and can't, because none of it pertains to you. What pertains to you is, am I feasting on things that please Jesus? That's the lesson. Because if I'm not, that which is unclean, no doubt, will defile me. You're in a relationship with somebody tonight, they don't love the Lord, get out. You're looking at pornography, get out. Bash the computer. Do what you have to do. Don't even touch it. These also shall be unclean, verse 29, among the creeping things. The earth, the weasel and the mouse. Perhaps that's a reinforcement, the attachment to our computer screens. And the turtle after his kind. And the ferret, verse 30, your kids will wonder, where did my pet ferret go? Oh, I put it on the grill last night, it's gone. The chameleon and the lizard and the snail, we call it escargot, we fancy it up, but at the end of the day, it's just a snail. And the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. They're close to the dirt. They're close to refuse. They don't eat them, the Lord says. They're not good for you. Whosoever does touch them when they be dead, they shall be unclean. And upon whatsoever any of them, verse 32, when they are dead, does fail, it shall be unclean. Whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the evening, so it shall be cleansed. Now look at verse 33. And every earthen vessel. As soon as I read that today, I thought of 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Talking of us, we are earthen vessels, pot, you know, clays of pot, so to speak, that have this treasure, Jesus Christ, his light shed abroad in our hearts. And this spoke to me here. Verse 33 speaks of every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it. An earthen vessel, one of these unclean animals fall into it. A mouse, a mole, whatever it would be, a snail, it falls in dead into your clay pot there. The Lord says, destroy it. Don't just re-gift it at Christmas and give it to somebody that you don't really care for. He knows us. He says, just bash the thing. Break it. I don't want there to be anything used for it with this again. I want this thing to be destroyed. Break it. Don't re-gift it. Of all the meat, verse 34, which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all that drink that may be drunk, and every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything, verse 35, whereupon any part of their carcass falls shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. But notice here, verse 36, there's a nevertheless, a fountain or a pit, speaking of a spring, a water cistern, a water that was living and moving. That's what he's saying here. If this happens, if it falls into those things wherein there's plenty of water, it shall be clean. But that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. And so, important here, because you see, in the Middle East, like anywhere in the world, but especially there where it's so hot, most of their wars, in fact, have been over in Israel, over water. possession of water, going back all the way to Abraham. They would fight for water cisterns and wells and places where that they could have that, you know, for rehydration and for their animals and all their crops and the livestock and for bathing and everything else. They need water, obviously. And so what he's saying here is listen, if you got a huge cistern, a huge underground cistern, a pool of water, and a dead mouse falls into there, an unclean animal falls in there, you don't have to get rid of all the water. Just take the thing out, which is unclean, and you can keep that. The Lord understands here how important water was to these folks here in the Middle East. And he says it's okay if there's an abundance of water. And I think that kind of speaks to us again tonight here. I think of living water, moving water. I think of the Lord. I think of his word. And how so many times if we soak ourselves in the living water, if we just saturate ourselves being in his presence, yeah, even though we're going to be defiled and unclean, the Lord is going to kind of override those things in our lives easier, so to speak, as we fill ourselves with his presence, with his word, versus if we're not doing those things. Even if we're here tonight and we're not getting a ton out of a study like this, you were moving through dietary laws, even if that's you tonight, you're still in the hearing of God's word. It's better than any TV show that you can be watching or any movie that you can be watching or any game that you can be playing. There's nothing that compares to being in the hearing of the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of his word. So even though we're defiled and contaminated by this world, by unclean things, all week, all day today even, being here is so good for us because it gives the Lord chance to kind of weed those things out that are not pleasing to him, to kind of give us that ability through his strength to defeat them, to have victory over them. You see what I'm saying? As we're just saturated in a huge amount of living water as we come here, and we feast on him and we learn of him. Even if we only get one phrase out of the whole message, that's all we leave with. It's better than what we came with. And the Lord will use that to gear us up, to give us that ability to overcome contamination, so to speak. So he says, where there is plenty of water, man, that there'd be plenty of water in our lives. And if any part of their carcass, verse 37, fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. But if any water be put upon the seed and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. And if any beast, verse 39, of which you may eat die, he that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the evening.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.